Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you with the compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated, our longstanding and ongoing supporters and sponsors of this program. Before we go into the next half an hour or so that's left of the program, we close at 1:15, I'd like to raise two things. I'd like to make an observation that I must thank the existence of the by-election for what I perceive, what I'm told has been a mini boost and stimulus in the economy of St. George North. Given all the activity that's taking place on the ground, the spending that is going on in shops and hardware, etc., the offerings being made to churches, the ram shop lines and cross, etc., I think there's been a significant boost, and I wish it could go on until Christmas. So thank you, Brass Tacks. Sorry, thank you, by-election. I'm sure it reflect the persons in Georgia who are glad for, as they said, an uptick, as they say these days, in economic activity. But I want to, on a more serious note, raise the question, I'd like to ask Dr. George Brackett and Mr. Devron Bruce, who are our guests, who have been contributing significantly to our program. I want to thank them again for their inputs. What matters would you like to see the parties, the candidates raise in the next two, three days as you go into the campaign, particularly those that we need to address in the future? What things do you think we've slighted, ignored, not paid sufficient attention to, or just completely have not put on the radar at all? Devron?
Well, I think it will let George go first as a resident of St. George, so I think he's the best person to start with that one.
George?
That's a good one, Devron, and I know that you are skillfully and quietly learning your art. I wish you well. I told Glenn this when he raised the question and we had a slight discussion. I suggested that I am always cautious, particularly days before an election. Political science, political analysts, pollsters getting too deeply to reshape the narrative. I say that.
I'm not talking about reshaping, George. There are some issues, like, for example, have you heard much about same-sex marriage? Is there cannabis?
It's not an issue. I have the only person I've heard trying to put it on the table are one or two candidates, but in terms of the people from St. George North, and as I move around and as I chat and persons call me, that is not one of the things they're interested. Quite frankly, people are suggesting to me that we've always had those types of persons in Barbados, and what they do tell me about is they do not like the idea of discrimination and marginalization, particularly from the institutional end. So when some person from St. George's has to interact with a government agency, and because of how they look or how they dress, and other ways that we can categorize groups of people, and then they don't get similar treatment, that is what persons talk about. So to the extent that you want to put institutional discrimination on the agenda, I can discuss that. But to talk about same-sex marriage, that's not what people tell me. People tell me what happened in bedroom. But I hear people
What about the question of cannabis?
The question of cannabis has not been a big story. What I can tell you, I hear a number of the young people saying, and it comes back to this institutional marginalization and discrimination, is that they're glad because they don't know why they were trying to shortchange so many young people just because they had a split. That's what has been actually said. Now there is a generation, and perhaps we have to find bridges and ladders to narrow the generational gaps. But if we are going to look to use, even in terms of agriculture, and push a medical cannabis industry, perhaps we will get some unemployment for those who plant, but we can get the same types of things that I was talking about, the processing plants and stuff. So, and to really remove the stigma, from the records of so many young people, I think is a positive step. Other countries have done it. other parts of the world have done it. We've not seen it emerge again in the context of the United States. So I, these things that paint young people because a man had a spliff or get caught with a little tiny spliff he can't even do nothing with, I don't think you should paint people with a brush and deny them certain opportunities and accesses to opportunities because of that.
Thank you, George. Let me, in addressing, in calling on Devron to address those questions that you raised, I'd like to add two more. What about the question of health, the situation at the QEH regards availability of space and facilities for the public, the question of the treatment of ageism, the treatment of old people, talking about discrimination, the discrimination that is coming more to the fore, to the aged in our society and how they are addressed. Do you think that these are things that need to be addressed in the next 2 days, or things that we should be focusing as we go past the by-election? Devron?
Well, certainly, if you're running for office to become a parliamentarian, you will find yourself discussing national issues, not just issues that affect your constituency. So I certainly would not object to the candidates looking at many of the things that you discussed, particularly the ones that people are hurt by. So the QEH situation, the ageism, and those certainly those are things that have to be talked about, and it can be added to the campaign. But I think that what George said was correct. I think organic issues will emerge. You've had enough time that the campaign was going on, and what people actually care about would have been discussed organically. But some of the issues that I think still need to be looked at, as a young person myself, youth concerns. So what are you going to do as it relates to entrepreneurship? Are you going to get government to put more money into trust loans? Are you going to get government to put more money into entrepreneurship to target the St. George North constituency? What are you going to do about community activities? Will there be after-school programming? Will there be, a focus on the arts? What is unique about St. George North that they can add to the Barbadian economy, or add to the Caribbean economy, or add to the global economy? What makes St. George North unique? Where is the talent? Where are the skills? How do you get those individuals on board, not in a partisan manner or party manner, but at the community level, and get individuals to have that community spirit again? So I think that's one of the things that we need to look at. What about digitization? Are the given the COVID situation and persons are having difficulties in school, does the constituency have the necessary tablets? Do they have the necessary infrastructure to deal with the needs that are immediate right now due to the COVID situation, and the needs that will continue to be there given the COVID situation? So these are some of the things, particularly young people, that we need to start focusing on: education, digitization, entrepreneurship, community spirit. But certainly, yes, you would obviously have to address national issues as well if you're a parliamentarian.
Thank you, Devron. Dennis, can we go to the phones again? Come in, Brass Tacks, come in, please.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Welcome.
Yes, I was here listening for some time, and I wanted to comment on, I think it's Devron or Devron, Mr. Bruce, let me call, that's easier, on something he had said. But then I believe that having listened to a caller talking about the IMF and then Dr. Braffitt, I'm going to try to pull together three things. But the first thing I wanted to comment about, or and to perhaps ask a question, or to ask a rhetorical question and then ask my own question, is I believe Mr. Bruce cautioned candidates about overpromising at the constituency level. And he mentioned, and I took his comment and then put it in quotes, the health of a constituency is dependent on the health of the economy. And I agree with that. I don't question that. But to my mind, and I believe he went back to some extent to revisit this, and the question I would really want to pose, because you did mention that to greater or lesser extent, the candidates, or some of them, would have put forward plans for the constituency, and certainly one candidate did put forward a 10-point plan, which has been fleshed out in I've seen it in the media, I've heard it on the platform, etc. And therefore, the question that I would pose would be, how feasible are the promises made? And I actually just heard Mr. Bruce use the comment in terms of community action. And my question, as I listened to him, was, is there any scope for community action for the development or join on non-governmental organizations? What is the scope for building on social capital. And I think he mentioned some of these, and I was happy to hear that he did revisit that when he talked about residents, former residents of the constituency, and I would say indeed Barbados in the diaspora. You have your churches, you have young people. In fact, one of the things is that we have a program, and I would hope that this is something that these young people would look at. My understanding is that young people in the university are expected to give back. I mean, that is a clear source that can be tapped on in any community, the churches, etc. So I am really happy to hear him really raise the question, and he didn't leave it there because he did provide some of the answers. But as I was listening to him and focusing on that and trying to get through, I heard one of the callers call in and speak about the IMF's most recent evaluation, the fourth round of fourth review of the BERT program. And I wrote down Dr. Braffitt's comments when in responding to the caller, he talked about a rebounding in confidence locally. And it had caused me to pose some questions to myself, and I would pose them to Dr. Braffitt, because what I'm asking myself as I listen to him, what factors influence the level of local confidence, not only in the economy but in the government of the time? And I would hazard a guess that the actions of the media, the strategies and positions taken by workers' representatives, namely the major trade unions, the Barbados Workers' Union, the NUPW, and what I would call, quote-unquote, the creation of an unholy alliance between trade unions and key elements of the private sector, had a major part to play in how and what was said about the government, its performance, etc. I mean, we have long debunked this thing about a lost decade. I hate to use the word, but I have to use it in this context. So one of the things that I ask myself is, when we start to look at these things, how do we create a quote-unquote reality or a perception that becomes reality to shape the outcomes of a number of things? But let me try now to bring it back to the issue of St. George North and the capacity... Hello?
Yeah, quickly, caller. Yeah, sure. Quickly, please.
As I've said a lot, yeah. Well, you mean quickly?
Yeah,
go ahead.
We've got a full board meeting, so please.
In all of that, given the situation we are in now, it strengthens my point, and that we have to look at community action, that in fact what we might have seen in terms of promises is not an over-promising, but a commitment to probably bring a new approach to community empowerment and community development. And so I think I realize that the program is almost at an end, but I wanted to make that point, that at the end of the day, perhaps we're not seeing over-promising, but new strategies of engaging the community. So perhaps I can end on that and let somebody else get into the program. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rick. I think George, she'd invoke your name. Would you like to respond to that in a succinct manner?
Yes. I thought that was a good intervention from the former minister. And she alluded to what everyone said in terms of community, even though I had spoken about those things an hour ago, or mentioned them certainly. But leadership, there are two distinct things that emerge with leadership. And that is, one, the ability to have a vision and express that vision so you can have followers, and then the confidence to pursue that vision. And the important thing, and she's right when she's speaking about the characters that are involved, union, the tripartite arrangement. The tripartite arrangement had seemingly broken down severely between 2013 and 2018. The private sector was complaining that they couldn't get meetings with the head, or that they were not listening. Labor was saying the same thing, representative labor, and you had a breakdown to the point that there was a march against government by those two entities. Now, the media...
George, if I may just interview, remember, I was pulling the question in the context of the future. We are familiar with that scenario.
That's the question Ms. McLean asked.
Okay.
Because Ms. McLean was asking about this thing, how do you get back to how could I say something of local confidence? And that is one of the biggest follow-ups we had, and it is one of the biggest areas of repair. And what you're seeing now is a transitioning with the attempt. I do not know if it will work out. We will know by the 12th. But the attempt to further place labor at the center of actual government policy making. So I think these things are instructive, and that's why I thought Ms. McLean's observation are pertinent and accurate, and I needed to tell her how you derive confidence. But first of all, expressing the vision, which for the, under the, I must say sadly, and I thought, I know Prime Minister personally, and I thought he's a good person, but I thought he was never able to get across the vision he had for Barbados. And you have to be able to express your vision if you want followers, and they have to have confidence to do it. So that is what we are seeing taking place in Barbados at this time.
Thank you, George. Before we go to Devron, the question of the tripartite arrangement was raised, and the role of government, the role of the trade unions, and also by implication, even explicitly, not explicitly, the private sector. I have always have had a difficulty with putting too much hope in the private sector, because historically in Barbados, it has never been aggressive, has not been far-sighted, and especially in this situation where it is in so much financial trouble, I would think that we have to find a way of bringing them back to strength, but at the same time looking beyond them to get this and the drive and the determination to do it. And in that regard, I welcome the interventionists and the positive and aggressive role of government, because I still feel like a good old social democrat that I do not believe in laissez-faire government. I believe a government has to intervene on the behalf, on the good of the country from time to time. Devron, the microphone is all yours.
Thank you. And I have to agree with the caller and really clarify myself a bit. So I'm not saying that it was more so over-promising. It was really a concern of just the style of our economy, and the structure of our economy is one where persons who live in St. George North, if they really focus on the bread and butter issues, they must leave St. George North in order to get money in their pockets. The South Coast, the West Coast, the Warrens, the Bridgetown, was always the point that was making. So how do we get to know St. George North to become one of those pockets of growth within the Barbadian context? And I think the community discussion is certainly part of that, but it can't be the only solution. And if we're going to be able to do that, it has to be a national policy for it to be done. And that is why George spoke to the representation on whether that representation can get the national, the prime minister, the head of the unions, the private sector, and everybody else that's on board or that need to be on board to get St. George North into a position, maybe like a Warrens, for instance, or maybe a Six Roads or what's not. That has to be a national policy. So was it saying one or the other? I was just saying both have to come together, really.
Thank you, Devron. Before we go to the phones, I'd just like to make a comment regarding a theme I keep hearing coming all the time, this idea of returning to, resuscitating or return to communityness or community-mindedness. My training in sociology taught me that there's a philosopher and a sociologist called Tonnies, whose theory, and I support it, that when you move from community to society, through development, that causes a dysfunction, a disjunction, and a fracture of relationships on which community depend, which you're not easily able to recreate unless you have people who over a period of time live together, share together, have common views and values and approaches, and that recreates a new community. But just people to bring people together from all over Barbados, put them in one spot, and a community will not grow organically. It would have to be nurtured and developed and planted like any other organism. Can we go to the phone, though, Dennis? Good afternoon.
I want to speak to Dr. Braffitt.
Go ahead, Hello? Please.
I'm listening, ma'am. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm good.
Great.
I listened to you from the start of the show, right?
Yes, ma'am. So
it seems that you have a problem with Mr. Wood on the platform.
No, I didn't suggest that. What I did suggest, a point was made that perhaps the platforms, the political platforms, did not utilize all the resources available to them in an optimal fashion. And I indicated that bringing across Anthony Wood to speak from a Democratic Labour Party platform in itself is a good strike. But then for him not to really challenge or create a quake within the bosom of the Barbados Labour Party means that it either was not effective or that there was not the thunder given that should have moved persons emotionally. That is what I suggested. I never said the rightness or the wrongness about Mr. Wood speaking on a political platform. I never said it.
Oh, Carl, I mean, listening to you this morning, I mean, you campaigned for the whole morning. So I wanted that you wanted something wrong. Yes, right. Well, you here campaigning.
Thank you, caller. If I might respond to the whole question of the involvement of maneuvers or tactics, like the question of involving other person like Bobby Morris or Mr. Wood on the platform of either party or any one party, is that I'm sure you would know, George, and that wrong, that an issue becomes an issue depending on how much attention you pay to it, how often you vent it, how much you pick it up. Now, it might just be a technique that what Mr. Wood has said might have resonated, but that it might be the government's interest, political interest, not to show his respondent, because to do that would be to elevate it into a much bigger issue with which we then have to grapple that. This time particularly, it might not want to go through. So it might just hope it will slide, hope it will die, and that therefore be covered by other issues before you move on to other things.
That's awesome. That's very possible.
Okay. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello there, Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I got an interest in the St. George North because my father, grandmother, cousins, even one of the members of parliament come from that same area, right? And what I could look at and see that this campaign really is based on two things. One is the gender, because when you hear the Prime Minister Barbados on the platform talking about how Granny Adams brought this body and why a woman can't bring a woman or whatever and thing, it tells me it was a gender-based situation. And then the comments from Mr. Bradshaw, where it was very embarrassing, I believe the Barbados, the fellow trying to represent Mr. the court.
Mr. Reefer.
And it seemed to me that, based as a wrong man, that these things are very touching to the people and will always be touching to the people. Because if you cast your mind back, some people were trying to say that, you know, because the lady is a union boss and whatever, that she really can't do nothing for the people. But then the president of the Democratic Labour Party said that she don't want to make that issue at all because she knows fully well that all the Dems were leaders already too. So that was a non-issue. So when they get to this type of stage, when you look back, Mr. Moderator, and see. And then lo and behold, he have been forgotten, and you brought Miss Moore. It tells you that this is a gender situation and people are hiding away from this gender situation. Now when it comes to the empowerment of people in St. George is a valley that is always very good in agriculture. We know we've got one, two things started over there for years now, but the support that they need is a lot more than that. Mr. Reefer was playing cricket for Barbados from youth level right away through. And his focus was in his development. He started to develop a lot of players for Barbados and invest in his team. So we cannot say you have not done nothing for St. George.
Yes. All right, sir. If you can wrap it up, thank you very much. Brass Tacks, one more call before I raise another issue for I'd like the panel to discuss. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I know that Dr. George probably making a good effort. George Buffett, good effort to concede his bias. I think he do pretty good at it, but not fully covering it. No, Maxine McLean made reference to the media.
Make it tight, Bob. You only got about 8 more minutes to go.
Okay. Maxine McLean made mention to the media also, not only the tripartite arrangement in terms of influencing things in Barbados, and Dr. George didn't mention the media. He just referred to the tripartite. Also, in his reference to the tripartite, talking about lack of meetings, at some point in time, the Prime Minister Stewart did show that meetings were indeed arranged. Sometimes the tripartite didn't continue with it. So it wasn't just that the government of the day didn't have meetings. That was orchestration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen of the panel, Dr. George and Devron, based on the discussion we're having, based on what's being said, do you think we only got a few more minutes to go, the next few minutes, the next 5 or 6 minutes, and I'm talking about the future that I'd sought to focus this segment on, do you think that one issue that will have to be dealt with is a question of a crisis? Do you think it's a crisis of confidence in trade unionism in Barbados, in the trade unions in Barbados that will have to be addressed and dealt with in order to restore confidence, the whole national and stimulus and impetus to redevelop and empower the society and enfranchise the society, although not too many people are explaining what empower and enfranchise mean. Do you think the crisis of confidence, what are the crises of confidence? Is there one in the private sector? How do you see us moving forward from here and refreshing the national agenda?
Mr. Murray, you have perhaps asked the most probing and best question at the end. Indeed, I wrote a paper for a philosophical conference about 3 years ago, 2017, around there. And indeed, I made the point that the union, trade unionism, was in crisis. And I will maintain, to some extent, is still in crisis. While Ms. Moore and Mr. Dowell and others have been working, the reality, it has been in crisis for a number of things, some local and some not so local. High unemployment in any country means that the union is being starved of working resources. They too have to cut back on the things that they can and cannot do. In a situation that arrived in the around 2014-15, where there was that disjuncture within the tripartite arrangement, that too showed some knock on the government in terms of voice, because this was coming after a time where there were deliberate and targeted accusations to the point became infighting, particularly in the NUPW, in terms of who was being co-opted, and to the extent that trade unionism was being broken down by the government of the day. It is a fair assessment to suggest that it is possible that Ms. Motley has recognized that it can come to her and has decided, well, if there is the opportunity to grab a union leader, let me do it now for him. He never pass this way again.
Thank you,
that
George.
That is a distinct possibility.
Thank you, George. We have to go to Devron now because we ran out of time. Devron, your take on that?
I mean, that is a very interesting consideration. I have to ask the question, why would a Labour Party need a head of a political, or rather a union, to come into the party to keep it in check? If you're a Labour Party, you need someone to come in from the union to keep you in check. You must question your philosophy as a Labour Party. And that is the fundamental of the situation. The equation is quite simple, you know. The union right now is faced with a perception issue. In the same logic that we can understand a union would act favorably towards a political party, in the same logic, they could act unfavorably towards a political party. And the reason or the basis behind favorability or unfavorability is who is at the head. So people have a perception issue with the union, and they continue to make the argument that you cannot serve two masters. The reality is that Toni Morrow will likely find herself in a situation where her, as or where she rather, as a member of the Barbados Party, and the head of the Barbados Workers Union will have a clash. We don't know whether or not she will side with the union or the Barbados Labour Party, but you're putting yourself in a situation, an unnecessary situation at that, that could have been avoided. What is wrong with the tripartite system? Why does she need to join the Barbados Labour Party in order to be successful? With that logic, then, every single union leader should join the government of the day. This is my fundamental problem with that. Why do you need to join a political party to get things done?
Just as a quick comeback, that argument sounds good on the surface, but when you dig deeper and you consider Leroy Trotman, Evelyn Graves, Bobby Morris, Ronald Jones, who was head of the BUT, who was head of this. Come on, let's be real. This is a small society. This is a society with less than 300,000 people. What are we going to do? Isolate people because of the association? When we still believe in a situation of rights and our constitutional rights? Come on.
Thank you, George. Just your parting comments. Then I go to Devron for his before we wrap up the program. Quickly, in a few seconds, George, but your parting comments on what you'd like to see over the next few days in St. George North.
I would like the next 3 days to be peaceful, continue with no violence. I am going to be listening to the speakers on the various platforms. But in all of this, I think the people of St. George North can warm themselves to the idea that they will be getting Tony Moore. And I say that not on the basis of anything else, but on the basis of the track record, the vehicle that she is upon. And that vehicle has proven for 26 and more that they will deliver.
Thank you, George. Your message is loud and clear. Devron?
Well, thank you for having me today. And I would say my final comments would be, I will wish all candidates success. As George mentioned, a peaceful couple of days coming forward. And I would also call on the public to follow the COVID-19 protocols for the election, because this is the first time we're going to be having an election during the COVID pandemic in Barbados. And you really need to have, you know, just follow what needs to be done and hope for the best as it relates to that. I just wish all the candidates the best, certainly.
Thank you very much, panelists, Dr. George Braffy and Devron. And I'd like to build on what you're saying to say that we can all be proud and assured going into this election. The finalists of the election, they have to poll in there. We will not have, I'm sure, the issues with our electoral and boundaries commissioner system, our political culture, and the history, the operations of the Electoral Boundaries Commission have been sacrosanct virtually, and we can be assured that that will function in good stead, or with all the administrative arrangements in place. And again, we have not had even a rumor of a disruption on the part of the meeting, no violence, not even a snow cone cap being thrown at anybody. And I want to say that we look forward to that, maintain that hallmark. We can still teach the world how to divide and disagree properly and not resort to violence. And I want to therefore wish all the success in St. George North by electing everybody and look forward to a favorable outcome. This has been Brass Tacks Sends, brought to you with the compliments of Williams Industries Inc. I want to say on behalf of Dennis Johnson, our producer and technical operator, my name is Glenn Murray. As usual, take care of yourself, take care of your family, but above all, take care of Barbados. Until next time.